What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back to the Blues Library podcast. I'm Ashley and I'm joined by my lovely co-host Lexi.
Hello.
And today we are talking our first double episode.
Yay, because, you know, Frost and Starlight is so tiny. It would have been like, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Don't give me that look. That was weird. Normally you're like, what book are we doing? So today we are going to be talking about A Court of Wings and Ruin and A Court of Frost and Starlight by Sarah J. Maas. It is book 3 and book 4 in the ACOTAR series. Trigger warnings, there's going to be death. There's going to be violence. There's going to be
War.
There is going to be kind of somewhat of Tamlin being his normal self, like he was in the beginning of Akamath.
Manipulation.
There will be, I think that's it.
Yeah. As far as spoiler warning,
we will spoil everything because, you know, we've read the series. It's a reread. So if you haven't read the series, go read it and then come back. Or I guess you can find another podcast that's not going to do spoilers. We could try, but we're just horrible when it comes to spoilers, really, especially though. If we've both read the books. So
yeah, and Lexi is not all caught up on House of Sky and Breath, so she's not all caught up in the SJM universe, so we will not be talking about any of that either.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that. All right.
All right, so for our synopsis, shout out to Sarah from Book Series Recaps and Reviews.
Lifesaver.
Really though. So we start in a flashback. It's 2 years before the wall went up. Reese finds himself in the aftermath of the war. He searches for his friends on a bloody battlefield after fighting alongside the humans. In the present, Fair is with Tamlin in the Spring Court, pretending to be the saved damsel that they believe her to be. They don't know that she's the High Lady of the Night Court. She attends a meeting with Ianthe, whom she hates for betraying her sisters. And Tamlin announces that Highburn will be moving their forces into the Spring Court. Jurian arrives along with Highburn twins, Brana and Dagdon. Feyre, Lucien, Jurian, and the twins inspect the holes in the wall that keep their forces from entering the human lands because they want to see how the wall created the holes so that they can ultimately bring down the wall. Feyre tells her maid Alice that her feelings in the Night Court with Rhysand were all an act. Feyre arranges for the sun to shine on her instead of Ianthe at the summer solstice ceremony.
Loved that.
One of the best parts of this book. Because of this, all of the people view her as blessed instead of Ianthe, so Ianthe is really pissed. After a nightmare, Feyre goes to Lucien and they embrace. Tamlin walks in, making his own assumptions of what's happened because they're both kind of disheveled. Feyre wins the affection of Tamlin's men by siding with them against Ianthe. Everything she's orchestrating puts a wedge between herself, between Tamlin and his people. Ianthe announces that the land around her temple is dying and that she intends to find the cause. Three children of the blessed are caught trying to cross the wall, but Feyre scares them away. The next day, Feyre and Lucien find the bodies of the children of the blessed torn to pieces by the Highburn twins. Alice tells Feyre that she's going to the summer court. Feyre learns that the cauldron will be used to collapse the wall. She decides to return to the night court, and as she's leaving, she sees Ianthe coming on to Lucien and not really taking no for an answer.
Like, when would she ever, though?
Really. Feyre makes Ianthe smash her own hand with a rock. The Highburn twins approach and reveal that they have been poisoning Feyre's powers since they arrived with Feybane, but Feyre is still able to defeat them.
Because she's a badass bitch.
Fuck yeah. Lucien joins Feyre on the way to the Night Court in order to see Feyre's sister Elaine, who is his unrequited mate. On their journey, Lucien and Feyre are captured twice. They're able to get away the first time, and the second time they're rescued by Cassian and Asriel.
That one, I lied earlier. This part is absolutely amazing.
This part is phenomenal. Feyre and Rhysand are united in Velaris. Feyre visits the House of Wind where her sisters have been staying. Nesta is angry and Elaine is a shell of herself, depressed and missing her human fiancé. Fuck him. I hate him so much. The Inner Circle has a meeting about Highburn and they kind of just go over what they need to do to coax Feyre and, whoa, holy fuck. The Inner Circle has a meeting about Highburn where they decide that they need to coax Feyre's sisters into fixing the holes in the wall. Feyre trains with Cassian and Asriel agrees to teach her to fly. Rhys and Feyre decide to recruit the Bone Carver to help them. The Bone Carver's price is that they bring him the Ouroboros. Reluctantly, Nesta agrees to help fix the wall, as well as join them in the visit to the Court of Nightmares, where they will ask others for aid, and Feyre tries to take the Ouroboros. The court's leader, Kyr, says that he will help the Night Court if he can have access to Velaris. Rhys agrees and Mor is furious that he made this bargain with her father. I mean, that's understandable, honestly.
Well, he tries to destroy everything.
I know, it's understandable that she's upset, for sure. Fair learns that most of the people who look in the mirror lose their minds. She decides not to take it. Amarin explains that the bone carver will need to be bound to a body in order to be set free. Lucien tries to heal Elaine's mind with their mating bond, but it doesn't work because she gets scared. During flight training with Azriel, Fair is not doing very well.
Like flying into a tree.
Yeah. He tells her the story of how Nephele saved Miriam, even though her wings were small and malformed. Hibern ravens attack Nessa and Farah in the library. They pass by a strange pit where something evil lives. Farah makes a bargain with the monster, who we find out is Braxis.
Farah and making bargains.
Dude, she's just like, bro, I'm fucked. Make a deal.
Everybody warns, like, you don't make bargains with anything in Perthian. And she's just like, throwing caution to the wind.
She's like, you get a bargain. You get a bargain.
Somehow it manages to work out for her.
It's like Feyre is the Oprah of bargains. Yeah. So the monster will kill the Hibern ravens if she will bring it company. And it also wants a cute little light to see outside.
That's cute. It didn't even want to escape. It just wanted.
Yeah.
It just wanted a friend. So sweet. She needs to send Cassian to be his friend.
Okay, they soon realize that Elaine was made a seer in the cauldron, and she tells them about what the hell, Ciri, please go away.
Because seer probably sounds similar enough to Ciri.
Dude, it was like gonna search what all I was saying. Okay. She tells them about another mortal queen that was sold to an evil lord. The queen is cursed to become a firebird every day but be human at night. I just gotta say, this gives me Fiona from Shrek vibes. Like, every time.
Shrek retelling. I want that now.
Okay. Lucien volunteers to find her. Hibern attacks the Summer Court. When the Night Court arrives to help, they find that no other aid has come and the court is being slaughtered. Mor and Feyre fight their way through the palace. Rhys goes after the king of Hibern, but finds out that the king is only an illusion. After the battle, Feyre meets with Tarkin, who's furious at her for stealing the Book of Breathings.
Fair, I mean.
Yeah.
To him, it looks like they just pretended to like him. So
exactly.
I'd be pretty
My feelings too. Would be hurt. The Night Court meets with the High Lord. The Night Court hosts a High Lord's meeting in the Dawn Court. To their relief, everybody came, even Baron and Tamlin. Tamlin continually insults Feyre. The High Lords agree that the Spring Court must be evacuated and that they must all take the antidote to protect their powers from the effects of Feybane. Nessa believes that they are in danger and warns Feyre that they need to return home. It is revealed, also, that Lucien's father is not in fact Baron from the Autumn Court, but is Hellion from the Day Court.
It was assumed. They didn't actually confirm it.
Correct, but we find that out.
So when they get back to Velaris, last episode probably makes sense now.
When they get back to Velaris, there's a wave of power that passes through the land, and the cauldron has destroyed the wall. Nesta becomes sick as it happens. Feyre and the others go to Grayson, Elaine's fiance, and ask him to shelter humans. Jurien arrives and tells everyone that he's actually a spy and that he's been trying to destroy Hibern from the inside. He says that Hibern is planning to attack the following day from the Summer Court.
Can I just say really quick, though, like, when nobody believed him, it was fair, because how crazy does that sound?
Yeah, especially with, like, who he was before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, during this time, Elaine's fiance breaks up with her. whatever.
The fact that she still thought they were going to get married, though, like.
There's a battle in the Summer Court, and they put a glamour over the war camp so that they can ambush Hibern without their knowledge. Feyre realizes that this isn't actually Hibern's true army, and she goes after the Surreal for answers. The Surreal says that Nesta must nullify the cauldron. Before they can learn more, Ianthe and two Hibern soldiers shoot the Surreal, and my baby dies.
Yeah, our bestie. Feyre's bestie dies. It's sad.
favorably Dianthe and the guards inside the Weaver's cottage and traps them there.
I loved that more than anything. Me too.
I was like, you fucking bitch, you got what you deserved. Ferris sits with the surreal as it dies. Nesta finds the cauldron but accidentally opens a link to Elaine, and Hybern captures her. Fair disguises herself as Dianthe to sneak into Hybern's camp to rescue Elaine. Azriel leaves with Elaine while Feyre tries to rescue an injured woman. She finds trouble but is saved by Tamlin. Hybern's final attack is coming, so they winnow as many humans away as they can. Feyre finally goes to retrieve the mirror, the Ouroboros, for the bone carver. She takes it to him, but he tells her that he doesn't need it. He only wanted to see if Feyre was worthy. The bone carver, Braxis, and the Weaver agree to join the battle.
Because Feyre and Rhys, neither one of them really knew like if anything was going to pan out. So they went to all three just to make sure.
And they didn't know that they were going to each other. Like, they only knew about the bone carver.
And my favorite part is when all of a sudden all three of them show up and they both just turn to each other and they're like, what?
I know. I was like, this is probably the best outcome to a miscommunication trope I've ever seen.
Right? I'm not mad at this one.
I know. It doesn't look like it's going very well until Tamlin, Baron, and Grayson come to their aid. The cauldron unleashes its power, killing Illyrian soldiers. Feyre's father and Draken both sail ships to fight against Hybern. Amryn and Feyre race to the cauldron, but Amryn beats her. Nesta and Feyre find that the king of Hybern has their father. Cassian tries to save Nesta, but he's injured, and the king kills their father. Elaine then stabs the king, killing him. Amryn claims to have betrayed the group to win her freedom. Feyre realizes that the cauldron must be restored and re-sacrifices himself to do it.
Without telling Feyre that that's what he was doing.
The High Lords resurrect Rhys, who then in turn saves Amryn and the cauldron. Lucien returns from finding Vasa, the additional mortal queen. Feyre meets with Miriam and Draken and asks them to hide the cauldron on their island. She then calls a meeting to discuss a new treaty. They all return to Valaris. The end.
Of that book.
Okay, now for our...
How in the fuck did you get almost 2.5 pages of Aquafas?
I don't know, bro. Ask Sarah at Book Series Recaps and Reviews because she's a G. Okay, so this is Frost and Starlight. This is our little novella. Okay, in the winter... It's winter in the Night Court. Feyre wakes up one day to snow falling outside, and Rhys is not there. She tries to send a message to him through their soul bridge, but he is too far out of her range for the message to be received. It's not unusual since Rhys has been meeting with war allies to discuss trade and other matters. With winter comes the winter solstice, which brings up old memories for Feyre from a year ago, memories of being in the Spring Court with Tamlin and of Rhys saving her. It's also her birthday. Rhys is dealing with a dispute between Cassian and Devlin concerning allowing women in the camps to train. Eventually, the argument is settled with the women getting 90 minutes to train while the men help out with the work that typically goes to the women. There is another problem
Not
in the
great
camps,
progress,
though.
But it's progress.
Yeah. There is another problem in the camps, though. There are those who believe that the men were purposefully put in places where they would die in the battle against Hybern. Obviously, Cassian and Rhys must deal with this quickly. Feyre is walking through the rainbow.
Oh my fucking god.
Dude, shut up. There's like weird things in here. Okay, Feyre's
no,
walking.
No, because it's explaining what the rainbow is because we didn't explain it earlier.
I'm not including that.
Oh my god.
Feyre is walking through the rainbow, both searching for gifts for her friends and family and looking at the damage that was wrought from the battle. While looking at a destroyed building, a fairy named Rasina tells Feyre that the family that lived there were able to escape. She reminds Feyre that the people are thankful to her, since they all remember her saving a great number of them during the war. Feyre then runs into Mor, and together they find a gift for Amryn and discuss what everybody else might want. Eventually, Mor informs Feyre that they, along with Rhys, will be visiting the Hewn City as part of the tradition to check in with them around the solstice. The Hewn City is the Court of Nightmares. The trio arrives at the Hewn City. Mor's father is there as well as Eris, the one whom she was betrothed to marry. Eris is discussing gaining more territory for the Autumn Court, which Feyre reminds him is off the table for everyone. Eris then brings up Tamlin, since he's the court that borders the human lands, and any court wishing to grow would have to ask him for permission. The trio is suspicious about whether Tamlin is going to want to gain more territory. Rhys's spymaster, Azriel, tells him that the discontent is spreading through the Illyrian camps. While there are many camps that have unsatisfied people, the amount of people who actually feel unsatisfied in each camp is small. But this is still a cause for worry for Rhys. Rhys then travels to the Spring Court, finds it completely abandoned by everybody except for Tamlin. When asked why he hasn't been properly guarding the borders, Tamlin says that he has no army with which to defend the court. Rhys offers to supply him with some men, but Tamlin refuses to have those brutes on his land.
This is my problem with Tamlin, like, in this part, because I'm like, seriously, like...
Your pride you're over the safety of your people.
He's throwing a temper tantrum. He's still throwing a pity party. He wants everybody to pity him.
So, this conversation angers Rhys, who then says Tamlin deserves everything that has come to him. Instead of attacking Rhys, which Tamlin would have done before, Tamlin simply tells Rhys to leave. Once Rhys does leave, he meets with Farrah. He tells her what happened at the court and how he's disappointed in himself. Farrah says he's allowed to slip up sometimes. Rhys then realizes that he hasn't gotten Farrah a birthday gift or a solstice gift and goes out to get her something. Cassian arrives to help Farrah put up the decorations, and eventually everyone else arrives.
They do so junk.
Yes. Farrah goes into the kitchen to help Elaine prepare bread for dinner. When Farrah asks Elaine if Nesta will be coming tonight, Elaine said that Nesta didn't want to come to anything ever. Everyone sits down for dinner and is having a good time when Elaine asks Omrin about her new body. Omrin wonders why Elaine would be asking this and says that Elaine cannot return to being human no matter how much she may wish it. After an awkward pause, Azriel defends Elaine. The general good mood resumes. After dinner, Farrah and Rhys find Nesta in the seediest pub in Valaris. Farrah walks in and dismisses the young man who is playing a card game with Nesta. Farrah asks Nesta to spend the holiday with them. Nesta refuses. Farrah points out that their father would want them all together, and this upsets Nesta. She tells Farrah to leave. When Farrah is leaving, Nesta reminds her that her rent is due soon. Farrah says that she'll make sure it's delivered if Nesta comes to spend the winter solstice with them. Farrah goes to Omrin to talk about Nesta. As it turns out, Nesta and Omrin are quite close. Farrah asks what's wrong with her sister, but Omrin refuses to talk about it and betray Nesta's trust. Farrah just asks Omrin to tell Nesta the next time she sees her that Farrah and Elaine would both be really happy if Nesta came to celebrate with them. The winter solstice comes and Farrah wakes up that day with three birthday presents from Rhys: a sketchbook, a scarf, and a satchel for her art supplies. Notice how this all started with S. Isn't that weird? Okay. Moving
on. I'm just over the synopsis. I was bored the first time I read this book. I'm bored listening to the review, so.
The couple goes downstairs for breakfast, but before they can eat, Rhys is whisked away by Az and Cass as part of some sort of solstice celebration. Once they leave, Elaine comes out of the kitchen, having prepared many treats for dinner that night. Right when Elaine asks Farrah if she's heard anything from Nesta, someone knocks on the door. Elaine opens it, expecting it to be Nesta, but it's Lucien. When Lucien comes in, it's awkward between him and Elaine, as per usual. She leaves to prepare him some tea, while Farrah asks Lucien to live with them. Lucien is adamant about not wanting to live with them, and Farrah asks why. Lucien then explains how he's been disowned twice now, once by his family and once by Tamlin in the Spring Court. Since Tamlin's argument with Rhys, Tamlin had decided he will be spending the solstice alone. After giving Farrah her gift and Elaine's, Lucien leaves. Farrah goes to Elaine to ask why she never wants to be near Lucien, and Elaine explains that she doesn't want anyone right now. Farrah, respecting her decision, finds more, and the two go outside to see the tradition that Az, Cass, and Rhys take part of every year, a snowball fight. Once the trio come back inside from the snowball fight, the festivities begin. First, there's a birthday cake for Farrah. Once she blows out the candles and they eat the cake, they have dinner. After dinner, people start opening their gifts. Well into opening gifts, there's a knock on the door. Everyone knows exactly who it is. Nesta. Everyone is eventually able to settle after Nesta's entrance. And then they exchange gifts. From gloves to paintings to jewels to the medication for headaches, they're all satisfied with their gifts. It starts to get late and Nesta gets up to leave. Before she can, Farrah offers her the check that had been promised. Farrah hopes that Nesta will tear it up, but Nesta takes the check and leaves instead. Cassian goes after her, and he insists on walking Nesta home. They argue on the way until Nesta notices something in Cassian's hand. When she asks what it is, he says it's her solstice gift. It's something that took him months to find. Cassian wants Nesta to be closer to her sisters. Nesta finally snaps, telling Cassian to go home. She begins to walk away, and Cassian throws the gift he got her in the river. He still flies over her until she reaches her apartment safely. Once Cassian leaves, Nesta lights a fire, remembering the snaps of her father's neck as the fire cracks beside her, but she still feels nothing. Cassian returns home, and Farrah begins to prepare for bed. Rhys whisks Farrah into the cabin for some quiet time. Farrah wants to give Rhys another gift. Through their bond, she sends an image of their son that the bone carver had shown them. Farrah's gift to Rhys was wanting to try to have that child now. The next morning, Rhys had one final gift for Farrah. He takes her to a dilapidated building and says he bought her the estate to build a house for them, a house with a nursery. Rhys arrives at the spring court to see Tamlin sitting alone with a dead elk in front of him on the table. Tamlin asks Rhys if Farrah will ever forgive him. Rhys doesn't know the answer to that question, and Tamlin asks Rhys if he will ever forgive him for what Tamlin did to his family. Rhys points out that Tamlin never apologized. Tamlin responds that it wouldn't have made a difference. Rhys prepares the elk, telling Tamlin to eat, and then leaves the spring court. The end.
All right.
All right, Lexi, what did you do with your makeup looks for this one?
So I did, basically for the High Lords meeting, all or colors for all seven of the High Lords. On my eyebrows, I did green for spring court and black for night court. And then I did on my inner corner, white. Then on the upper lid, I did half of it gold and then half of it blue. And then as a liner, I did red and pink.
On the bottom line.
On the bottom lash. I said.
You said just as a liner. I said
on the lower line.
You said as a liner.
Whatever. Either way, people are going to see the picture, so they're going to understand. then on the other eye, I did the red and green for the festivities.
Yep.
Did green eyebrow, red on the eyelid. What did you do?
So I did the red fiery feathers from Amrin taking her true form after she breaks the cauldron apart in Akawar. And then for Akafas, I did like a mistletoe thing on my eyelid. Looks like mistletoe. All right, discussion questions. So what were your thoughts on Farrah being a bomb-ass bitch in the beginning of Wings and Ruin and taking Tamlin down?
So I've heard a little bit of differences, and it's funny because in the ACOTAR podcast, A Court of Thorns and Rosé, they were talking
about... Tattoos and Rosé.
Or Tattoos and Rosé, my bad. They were talking about, like, with the High Lords meeting when Tamlin was all like, well, I don't have an army because of Farrah. And then they're like, well, yeah, she didn't think that through. Well, but here's the thing. Either way, if Tamlin wanted to not be seen as part of the enemy, he shouldn't have, like, he should have at least, you know, maybe, I don't know, mentioned to Feyre or Lucien or whatever. Because not even Lucien under, like, knew.
Yeah.
Like, so either way, it was, I thought it was great because honestly, at this point, her and Rhys are acting on what they know, which is, we need to stop Highburn. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? Oh, we need to take down Tamlin as well. And then also on top of that, my other thing is Feyre didn't necessarily do anything. She helped, like the only thing she really did was help speed along everybody seeing Tamlin's true colors.
Yeah.
Everybody left because of Tamlin's own actions.
Yeah.
She didn't force him to do anything.
I agree.
It's not like she got in his mind or whatever. So everybody left when they saw his true colors.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great because I was like, first of all, kind of deserves it. Second of all, this just showed another aspect of Feyre and how badass she was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how good she was at being able to get the information that her and Rhys needed in order to take care of Highburn and everything.
Yeah, I agree. I fucking love the first part of this book.
Yeah.
Because Feyre just like playing spy. She does it so good.
Mm-hmm.
She does it so good.
I wasn't even mad we were back in the spring court for a little bit.
I know. Like, she does a damn good job.
Yep.
And, like, most of the time it was like, it was kind of a little surprise of like what she had like actually been planning the entire time, like making Tamlin like suspicious of her and Lucien, and like those little small things, like the fucking the solstice thing, like I loved it.
Do you want to know what my favorite part about the whole thing though is? It was all Feyre.
Yeah.
She just reported back to Rhys. It was all Feyre.
I know.
Rhys didn't do anything. Like, he wasn't coaching her. Like, yeah, he would, like, they would communicate through the bond a little bit, but they had to keep it to a minimum so that they didn't pick up this, or the mating bond. But for the most part, it was just Feyre doing what she does, and then she'd send the images or whatever to Rhys and be on her way, do the next thing, and that was great. I love it. It was a nice difference from the beginning of Akamath, because in Akamath, being back in the Supreme Court, it's she doesn't have the ability to do anything. In this one, she's running the show.
Oh, yeah.
She has so much.
It's a great juxtaposition. Yeah,
she's given freedom by, as Tamlin would say, her quote-unquote High Lord to do what she does best.
Yeah.
Fuck shit up. And somehow make bargains that work in her favor.
I know.
I
love.
But. I love it. I love how everybody's baffled by it, too. They're like, what? Like.
I know, and it's just like, ah, oh, Feyre made another bargain today.
All right. Did you think that Lucien knew what Feyre was doing? Like, in the very beginning, like, when he was kind of, you know...
Sus?
Like, do you think, like, he fully knew or that he guessed, like, exactly what it was and not just, like, a something's kind of fishy here?
Oh, no, I think he for sure knew. I think he knew the whole time. And, like, I think that's part of, like... his golden eye, I think it helps, like his metal eye, I think it helps to look through glamour. So like he could see what was going on.
Right.
And he knew what was going on.
Right.
But like he kind of went along with it because of Elaine.
Yep. That's kind of really the only way, because you can see that like there's times where he like the looks he gives Feyre, he knows.
Oh yeah.
He full on knows.
Oh yeah.
But then again, it's like his mate. His end goal is to get to Elaine.
Yes. What were your thoughts on Ianthe in this book?
I'm glad she's dead.
I feel like the beginning, right? Feyre does such a good job at like being underhanded about like destroying Ianthe's credibility, basically. And then at the end with the Weaver, I was like, I'm fucking for this.
What was that scene in the tent where like she said or did something that scared the shit out of Ianthe? Like she had like a dagger or something.
Yeah,
or
she like put a dagger to her throat and said something.
And then like went right back to acting all sweet and innocent.
Yes.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Oh, it was my fave.
I was so happy. Like how, and I was really happy when Feyre walked or stumbled upon Ianthe trying to get with Lucien.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, honestly, she kind of deserved what happened to her hands.
Also, can I just say, I fucking hate that Tamlin made Lucien do the right while she was gone and that he picked Ianthe. Like, he had to, like, be with someone who was like, it might as well be Ianthe. And, like, Ianthe's a fucking bitch after. Like, the whole thing is just disgusting to me.
Yep.
Like, I'm like, how is this your best friend?
Again, see, I just don't. There's so many things wrong with Tamlin that he keeps doing that I just don't. I don't really see myself ever getting on board with a Tamlin redemption. All right. Thoughts on the assholes from Highburn looking at the wall, the niece and nephew or whatever. I can't remember their names, so I just called them the assholes.
Brana and Dagdon.
There you go. I didn't care enough to look for their names. They're assholes. So.
I fucking hate them. Also, they're like fucking weird, incestuous, creepy, like some weird shit. I was like, this is weird. And
they were totally fucking too.
I don't know. Fuck yeah. Have you read Vampire Academy?
No.
Oh my God.
I think I read like one, the first book.
Okay. So I'm convinced that Dagdon is like shadow kissed of Brana. And like Dagdon is basically like, he died and came back to life and she brought him back to life. And so like he's tied to her and he pulls all of the darkness from her so that he's just like a walking depressive little ball of bullshit.
All right.
If any of you get that reference, please message me. Okay. What were your thoughts when Ianthe tried to make Lucien be with her before they left?
Well, if the fact that I'm happy that Feyre made her break her own hands and then led her to the Weaver to die doesn't say how I feel about it, then I don't know what will.
I was totally fucking for that, bro. Like, I was like, yeah, smash your fucking hands. Yep. Like, I was like, get her, bitch.
Yep. Again, I guess thoughts on Feyre making Ianthe break her own hand. Again, get her, bitch. Get her.
Yep. Thoughts on Lucien leaving with Feyre.
I actually liked that. I was glad. Because to me, that kind of showed, like, Lucien in the last book or in ACOTAR would have tried to keep Feyre.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he was like, no, take me with you. So, like, while yes, it was to get to Elaine, there was still that because he knew Tamlin was going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So there was still that little bit of him standing up for himself. And you know what? Like, this is my mate. I'm going to go be with my mate.
I saw it very much in a very similar light to you, where this is the first time Lucien is choosing himself since his ex was murdered by his father.
Yep.
This is his first time saying, this is for me. Mm-hmm. This is what I want. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. And I feel like we got more of that relationship that I loved between Lucien and Feyre, too, from ACOTAR within their journey. Like, it was still a little rocky, but yeah, there were still parts of that peeking through again, which I made agree. Me really happy to read.
I agree. That's a good point.
All right. Thoughts on Lucien's brothers? When we first kind of really, like, this was the first time we truly met and interacted with them when they attacked Lucien and Feyre on the lake.
See, I'm totally for, like, an Aerys redemption arc. I'm for all of the redemption arcs, basically. And
I'm okay with everybody but Tamlin getting a redemption arc.
And, like, I have a whole bunch of different theories about Aerys and, like, whatever, but I thought that it was very interesting that the only brother that SJM thinks matters enough to give a name is Aerys.
I thought the other ones had a name. I just couldn't remember. Oh.
They're never named. So, like, to me, I'm like, these fuckers are pointless.
Right.
Like, who fucking cares? So, that being said, I do love that Feyre and Lucien are kind of like trying to team up against his brothers. I really liked it.
What I thought was, because just from what we've heard, because we haven't met Baron yet, like truly met Baron, I was like, just based off of what we heard, they are like carbon copies of their father.
Yeah. And the fact that he's a wife beater and they're the same, they can fuck themselves.
And didn't we get a little bit about what happened with Morin Aerys in one either the last book? Or I think in the last book, just a little bit, not too much. So we kind of knew something fishy was happened, but we, from like the point of view we got it from, was that Aerys did something bad to Mor.
Yes. And then we kind of get more of Aerys's point of view in Silverflames.
Yeah.
But not all of it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on when Az and Cass came to the rescue?
Well, if you couldn't tell in the synopsis, this is my favorite scene, and I can't tell you the amount of time. Like, I have it tabbed in my books at home, and I like how often I will go back and reread that scene.
It's
like,
so beautiful.
I won't read the entire series as a whole, but I will go back and reread that specific scene.
I will reread chapters 54 and 55 and I'll read this scene because I fucking love it. I love it because, like,
the way they come in is just like so badass. And then, like, I loved it, though, when, like, whoever it was holding Feyre and Cass looked at her and was like, come on, like, we went through this and shit like that, so.
I totally agree. I'm not gonna lie. When I was just thinking about this, I was totally picturing a, are you lost, baby girl, situation.
Moving on. What? How did you feel with the reunion of Reese?
I loved it.
I wanted to cry. It was so cute. I wanted to cry. Just when she dropped to the ground and like made her little like weird sound or whatever, and then he's there, and I was just like,
my little heart. I was like, ah!
Because, like, even though, like, it compared to their lifespans, it hasn't been that long. Like, it was a while.
Yeah.
They haven't been apart that long.
And they just barely mated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my little heart. I love them together.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on them letting Lucien stay in Velaris with them?
I was a little shocked. I was shocked. One thing that actually did piss me off about that, though, was Lucien just, like, going, there's kids laughing. Like, what?
I thought that was so, like, sweet.
Well, like, but my thing, though, was, like, because he seemed, like, really, like, surprised by it. And I was sitting there, like, okay, but if, like, he knows Feyre. Like, he knows that Feyre wasn't going to be with Rhys if Rhys was exactly how he, like, was truly how he made himself out to be with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that Feyre couldn't even handle the fact that she killed those three Fae.
Yeah.
Or two Fae.
Yeah.
But, like, no, I was shocked, but I was also really happy. I didn't like, though, the rules that they made for him with Elaine. Because I was like, first of all, that's his mate. Second of all, fuck Elaine.
Your sister needs to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, let her, like, fucking deal with this on her own. She doesn't need to be babied.
Yeah.
Like, for fuck's sake. The unborn child of Rhys and Feyre acts more as an adult, like, or than Elaine does. Like, good God.
It's fucking annoying. I was, like, I understood it. And, like, I kind of felt bad because it's, like, they tell Lucien he can stay, but they don't really give him anything to do. And so it's, like, he was an emissary for so long. And then before that, he was in his dad's court and, like, all of this. So it's, like, what is he supposed to do here?
Well, but to be fair with that, I can understand why they wouldn't really give him a job for the Night Court because he still is so spring. Like close with Tamlin and so like backing up Tamlin and everything. So I can understand that. But I wish they would have allowed him to prove himself a little bit more. And I also hated how they acted like he was going to be a threat to Elaine. Like, that's his fucking mate. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted nothing but to take care of her.
Exactly. And, like,
honestly, Elaine really would have been the perfect mate for Tamlin.
Okay. I completely disagree, but we can't get into this tangent. Okay.
Elaine does nothing and needs to be protected, so. And Tamlin just wants to protect somebody.
I think Tamlin needs more character growth for that. Okay. Next.
Tamlin just needs to go away. All right. What were your thoughts on the attack on Velaris?
That happened in the last book.
Happened in this one.
Happened in the last
okay time. Whatever, then skip it. I told you they all blur together. I told you, I specifically said when I was doing my makeup, yeah, you needed to go through and read those because they all blur together.
Yeah, you're right, you did say that. Okay, ask the next one.
What were your thoughts on Feyre and Az going to the Highburn camp to save Elaine?
Dude, at this point I was just like, what use is Elaine other than the fact that she's a seer?
My thought, honestly, was just let him have her.
Like, I'm really over Elaine just because I think she adds nothing to anything.
Well, and then you have, like, two of, like, the most, like, because while Feyre still is learning and everything, she's still really useful. Mm-hmm. And then you have Az, who, let's be honest, it's fucking Az. You need him. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Like, you have the two of them going in, risking their lives to save fucking Elaine. Let her have them until the war's over. Or yeah, let them have her until the war's over. It's fine. She'll be fine. She's not going to find herself into trouble.
She's going to try to plant a goddamn garden during
their fucking camp. Yeah, and Highburn's going to be like, I don't even know what to do with you. You're not harming anybody here, so do whatever you want. You're not
doing anything. God.
You're so mean to Elaine.
Dude, I'm mad because, like, her sisters are fucking badasses and Elaine is just there.
Mm-hmm. This is why, like, I will struggle if and when we get an Elaine book.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just, like, from what we know now, I'm just like, I don't know, man.
Have your thoughts on Farrah's family changed since we first met them after reading this book?
So, yeah. Obviously, I said earlier, like, or from the ACOTAR series, that I was kind of really disappointed with Feyre's dad. But then again, you see here where he went and got an army of his own to help.
Yeah.
So that really, for me, I was like, okay, no, like that shows that he does care and love, like love his family. Elaine, no. Nesta.
Here's my take on Nesta.
At this point, I was still really struggling with Nesta. And then like with A Court of Frost and Starlight, I was still extremely struggling with Nesta because, again, like I said in the last episode and the episode before that, and I'm sure at some other point when Nesta came up, going through something traumatic does not make or does not is not an excuse to treat people like shit. Mm-hmm. Like it's not an excuse. You need to own up for your or to your own actions. You're in control of what you say and do.
Yeah.
Just because you went through something traumatic doesn't mean you get to treat somebody else like shit.
Yeah.
And I will stand by that till the day I die.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely like fell in love with like a fraternal love, excuse me, a paternal love with Farrah's dad. I love it so much that he was willing to do so much for his daughters and that ultimately he died for his daughters. I think that is so sweet. Elaine, I just want her plucked out of the story and like thrown away because she does nothing.
So yeah, I feel like we've already picked on Elaine enough that you already know our answer to Elaine.
I know. And Nesta, I feel like through her becoming Fae and throughout this book, Nesta goes from like a raging bitch to like a sharpened bitch where she is sharpened and fined like sharpened and gone through her bitchiness with a fine tooth comb where she knows what the fuck to do and say. And she does it in a way that just fucking like gets you every single time. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Which is good and bad.
Thoughts on Amarin making Feyre help her. I can't remember exactly how that happened, but I think she like tricked her, didn't she? So thoughts on Amarin tricking Feyre into helping her be released from whatever it was that was keeping her in the Fae body so that she could help them win the war. Because that's why she did it.
I was confused as fuck. Okay? Because like, I was like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, whatever.
Amarin's going crazy.
I know. And then I was like, wait, is Amarin turning bad? And then I was like, wait, no, that doesn't make sense. She's the fucking second. Like, then I was like, but what if she's a spy? And like, I was going through all of these like fucking scenarios.
Well, like, but Amarin being Amarin, it would kind of make sense where maybe she could have been swayed to be evil or something. I don't know. Continue.
I was mad that she tricked Farrah, but I understood because it would have hurt Rhys and it would have hurt the court. And so Farrah wouldn't have been for it. But I love that Amarin like made that sacrifice, if that makes sense, for everybody. And then I love that Rhys was able to bring her back because I would have been devastated.
I think it showed how much Amarin really, because you don't really, Amarin doesn't really show emotion. So I think it that just showed how much she really cared about everybody. And then like just I felt it also it showed how badass she really is. Like, I agree. Already knew she was badass, but this showed like what level of badassery is in her.
All right, what were your thoughts on the death of the Surreal?
I cried.
I did.
That was the only death I cried for, and I love Rhys to death, but I cried. I sobbed. Rhys, I was kind of like, "There's."
We'll
no
talk
way.
About Rhys after.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, like, that with Rhys, I thought, like, I knew that there was no way.
I was really sad when the Surreal died because, like, he was giving, like found father kind of vibes. And then the fact that he died really hurt my heart. And then her dad died and, like, I was like, I'm fucked.
All right. Thoughts on the little deal Feyre and Rhys made about, like, if one of them dies, they basically both die together.
I think this is the stupidest deal. Okay, when I first read this, I was like, that is so sweet. They just want to be together forever. And it reminded me of, like, this might be, like, super obscure. Death Cab for Cutie, Follow You Into the Dark. I love that song, and that's what it reminded me of, and I thought it was the sweetest thing. And then Silver Flames happened, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
All I've got to say is my reaction was exactly, almost word for word, what Amran's reaction was.
I love it.
I was like, you stupid motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Like, what? Why? What purpose did that serve? One somebody has to rule the night court. Fuck.
Okay, what were your thoughts on the High Lords meeting?
What a shit show.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny watching how, like, all the other High Lords are watching Tamlin and Rhys basically fight about Feyre. And then you've got Baron, who's like pissed off about, because Feyre lets her vows go because she's so emotional. And Baron's pissed off. It was an utter shit show, and I loved it.
I loved it. It was like watching a Real Housewives or something. Yeah.
Can we just talk about really quick?
Oh my God,
careful how you talk about my high lady. Excuse me, as
Zaddy. No, so I don't know if you probably haven't watched the Kardashians, because that feels like something you wouldn't watch. But
no, but I watched Pretty Little Liars.
Well,
if you can't, my favorite thing. Okay, really quick, I just want to let everybody know. I told Ashley, like, have you watched? Or I said, have you watched Pretty Little Liars? She goes, no, it sounds too dramatic. And then here she is watching, or knows this thing about, it sounds like the Real Housewives or the Kardashians. I'm like, what?
Shut up.
What do you mean it's too dramatic? Like, those two shows are way, way, way more dramatic.
Okay. Fuck. So, no joke. When Feyre accidentally lets her, like, powers go or whatever, and it, like, they find out that she has everyone's powers. And, like, I just picture the Khloe Kardashian right in front of the speakerphone going, liar! It makes me laugh so hard. Also, Tamlin throwing a fit is like the least attractive thing ever.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So, how did you feel about Elaine being the one to kill Highburn?
I was shocked.
She finally was useful for something.
And I'm honestly like, it's about damn time.
But then she goes back to being, like, useless, so.
Channel my inner Lizzo. It's about damn time, okay?
Like, yeah, she was useful for a hot minute, and then she went right back to being useless.
Exactly. Well, no, okay. Heike, this makes me think, like, I have this big overarching theory that Elaine, the Cauldron, is going to basically, like, become like some sort of controller of Elaine, or like the Cauldron's gonna become a person at ACOTAR podcast for that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this sounds exactly word for word what I heard on ACOTAR podcast. No.
And like the evil Elaine theory is gonna like come about in some way. And so like this is where I see it like starting, if that makes sense.
I still find her utterly boring, so.
I agree. What were your thoughts on their dad showing up with the army to help?
Loved one of my favorite things about this book. Yeah. Absolutely loved it.
It made me tear up. I'm not going to lie. And that was like when my dad was alive. So.
What were your feelings on Rhys dying?
Okay. Let me tell you this. My sister read this series before I did.
Which sister?
Hannah. And so I open it and I'm reading it. And she goes, whatever you do, don't turn to page 666. And I was like, the fuck? So I open it and it's the page Rhys dies. And I was like, excuse me? What? I was like, so the whole book, I was like, Rhys is gonna die. Rhys is gonna die. Rhys is gonna die. And I was so upset. And then he was only dead for like 3 pages. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I was like, I cannot have another motherfucking divergent issue happen here.
I was confused as fuck, because I was like, there's no way. I was like, I just didn't like reading it. I was like, there's no way that SJM is leaving him dead. Like, I was like, there's absolutely no way. There's no reason for it. Like, I was like, I don't believe it. There's something happens where he comes back alive. And then like, I kind of like, I did skip forward just to see, cause I was like, I need answers right now. I'm extremely confused. I was like, oh, I was right. Okay, cool.
No, like, cause that was my train of thought reading Allegiant, the last book of Divergent. Like, I was like, there's no way she just killed her main character.
I just want everybody to know this bitch read that series, gets them for me for my birthday, and goes, oh my God, they're so good. You need to read them. And now she's like, I will never read or watch those movies again. I'm so pissed. Rah, 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 rah.
It's true. I will never read anything Veronica Roth ever again.
So good. You have to read it after she already finished the series.
I'm pissed.
Fucking drama.
I'm really mad about it. What did you think of Tamlin after he helped bring Rhys back to life?
I was kind of like, all right, cool. Maybe he's starting to change and be a good person. And then I went, all right, you dumb motherfucker, when he goes, just be happy or whatever. And like, he said something and I was kind of just pissed me off because I was like, no.
I had the opposite reaction. Like, I was like, that's well, no, sweet.
But see, but here's the thing is it was like just the whole thing about it. And the fact that like with that, she literally had to beg Tamlin to help them. All of the other High Lords were like, they're ready to help. She had to beg him. And then he's like, I just hope you're happy. No, you don't. Because if you did truly wish she was happy, you wouldn't have hesitated. He hesitated, and I truly believe, especially after that fucking last little bit in that recap from Akasaf, that like somewhere in his fucking teeny tiny little brain, he thought that if Rhys died, maybe he could get Feyre back.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, you're still a stupid motherfucker.
See, I took it, like, this is my point of view on it, right? Is Rhys dies, and when he sees how distraught Feyre is and that she's begging everyone to help, he's like, that is when it clicks for him that I will not get Feyre back. She is happy here. She's where she wants to be. And then in Akafas, at the end, when he's saying, would Feyre ever forgive me? It's more of a, like, am I worth forgiving kind of question. And, like, I think that kind of, like, shows how deep down a hole he is when he says, like, it doesn't matter anyway if I had said sorry, because he can't forgive himself.
I don't know. It was too similar to situations I've been in where it hasn't gone the way you're thinking it's going, which mm-hmm. is where I'm kind of like, it's honestly, to me, it'd be a waste of time to read if there would ever be like a Tamlin book where he gets a redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a waste of time for me because I'd be like, that just doesn't feel real because it doesn't, like, his actions right now speak to everything, and where I was continuously manipulated back, or there were certain things where it was like undermining to be like, oh, mm-hmm. well, maybe this and that. So for me, it was just like that fit too much close to what I've been through for me to be like, oh, he's doing it because he cares or because he realized this. I'm just kind of like, no, it was all for his own gain, he thought. And then like, it just the fact that she still had to beg him pissed me off. Because I was like, first of all, like, Rhys is willing to fucking help anybody. Like, even Tamlin.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, with the whole, like, him, or with when Feyre died.
Mm-hmm.
That, what kind of really irked me about that one is Rhys didn't fucking hesitate to help save Feyre. Like, yes, we know now, but, like, for Tamlin at that time, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just that hesitation really bugged me.
All right, moving on to more of our Akafas questions.
Thoughts on Nesta during Frost and Starlight?
I would get really sad for Nesta, especially like as we move into Silver Flames. I think she's like very much in like a depression, and she's kind of heading towards rock bottom. she doesn't know how to deal with her thoughts and her emotions and herself.
This may make me sound like an asshole, and that's fine. I still just was kind of not, I didn't really care for Nesta. Again, I've been saying she had no right to treat people like shit. Then also in this one, what really fucking pissed me off is she continues to treat Feyre like shit and then goes, oh, my rent's due soon.
Yeah. That was shitty. I agree.
I'll be completely honest. I love my siblings more than anything in this world. But if one of them treated me like fucking shit and then said, hey, I need my rent, I would have looked them in the eye and said, you need to figure out how to get it. Either figure it out on your own or treat me with respect.
Yeah, I agree.
She's literally doing what she's done her entire life and leeching off of Feyre.
You're not wrong.
And that's what really, really pissed me off. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like I've said before, I don't hate Nesta. She's right now not my favorite because at the, I feel like, and I'll say this right now because we're almost to Court of Silver Flames, just so then that way nobody thinks I'm continuously an asshole for the next couple of episodes. I wish that we never really got Nesta going, like owning up to what she did to everybody, to mm-hmm. them.
I thought we did. Not to them, you're right.
She never once said anything to anybody. She just, all of a sudden, yay, everything's fine. We're all friends again. I really, really wish SJM would have put something in there. And that's the one thing that makes me go, I don't love Nesta.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of, she saved Feyre, which, yes, great. I love that she saved Feyre, and I thought that was amazing. But she just kind of, oh, we're all fine now. I saved somebody's life, but I don't have to take accountability for my own actions. And nobody held her accountable, which also pissed me off about everybody else.
Yeah.
That's my only problem with Silver Flames. My only one problem. Other than that, I loved it. But yeah, so that's where I was, that's where I'm at with Nesta, where it's like, I have this weird thing where it's like, I really, 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 really want to just love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the baby making scene and their decision to decide to have a baby?
So this is when I saw, I've seen a lot of people kind of go, they said they wanted to wait and then all of a sudden she's pregnant. And blah, blah, blah. You know what? They went through a lot of fucking shit realizing that they may not have much of a future if something like this happens. Like they went through literal life and death.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's fair for them to go, you know what? Our goals have changed. So one thing that pisses me off are when people are like, why did she have to bring Feyre and like all of this and wanting to have a baby and changing her mind in just this book and blah, blah. I'm like, because they went through a lot of shit.
Well, and like, that's what I hate is it's okay to change your mind.
Yeah. Like they went through shit that made them realize that like, hey, having a family is like right now is very important to us.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
And that's fair.
I loved that she put that in there as them changing their mind.
I agree.
And obviously the baby making scene was great. So.
Oh, yeah. All right. I absolutely agree. Honestly, I love that. They change their mind and decide mm-hmm. to have a kid. Also, I am 100% pro baby trope or pregnancy trope and everything like that.
Which we've heard in every episode almost.
Pretty much. So I loved it. I think it's the sweetest thing. Also, for all you fuckers that like think there's some weird pedophilia bullshit happening in this book, y'all can fucking like get out of here. Because he like finally like finishes or whatever when she shows him the picture of their baby.
Because he wanted the child. They wanted the child with Feyre and like to have their baby and
yeah, like, but everybody's like, well, he came when he saw the image of their baby. And like that's creepy.
Because he saw that was something like he wanted that life.
Well, and like it's a mixture of you and your like the person that you love to the ends of the earth. Together. It's something you guys are creating together.
Right.
Like, oh
okay.
It pisses me off every time I hear about it.
Yeah, that. Let's move on before I go on a really long rant.
Do this one.
What were your thoughts on both books?
love, love, love ACOWAR. It's a great book. I think it's a phenomenal ending. Frost and Starlight is boring. And that's all I have to say.
Love ACOWAR. I almost didn't make it through on the first time. Let's be honest, I didn't reread that one. I almost didn't make it through A Court of Frost and Starlight when I first read this series. It took me 10 times as long as it normally would have to read a book that size. I think part of it is because so much fucking happened in the first three books that all of a sudden nothing's happening. And I'm like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah.
So then all of a sudden I was really bored. I mean, yeah, it was good. There were parts of it that were good to have for Silver Flames. But yeah, I got really bored. I almost didn't finish it. Yeah. And I told Ashley when we chose this one, I said, I will not be rereading this. You do the reread. You can do that. Yeah. I won't reread it.
All right. So next we're going to move into Would You Rather. Usually we do our current reads, but because of how we're recording this, we're going to go ahead and do a couple of Would You Rather questions. So Lexi, you want to go first?
Would you rather face Lucien or Lucien's brothers or his father in a fight?
Oh my God.
Like you fighting against them.
Why do I not read these questions before you ask them? Like, okay.
Why? What do you mean?
Because every time I'm like, I have no idea how to answer. So
you read them when you were reading yours because you were constantly like, ah, you stole my question. I'm like, bitch, I wrote them first.
That's true. Okay. I would rather face his father. Okay. Are we talking Baron as his father? I would rather face Baron because Baron needs to fucking die.
The other one's not confirmed.
I fucking hate Baron. And like, wife beater, abusive, I would gladly rip his throat out with my long nails. I needed to do that.
Honestly, I'd rather Lucien's brothers because when you go back and you look at it, they're cowards. And like, let's be honest, had Feyre not been poisoned by the twins, she would have easily fucking kicked their asses. Baron, I don't think she would have had as easy of a time. Like, she probably still would have won because it's Feyre. But I don't think... So I feel like Lucien's brothers would have been so much easier of an opponent.
Yeah, and they're younger. Yeah. Would you rather get your neck snapped... Woo! Get your neck snapped or get a dagger through the throat?
Neck snapping sounds so much quicker. So I'm going to go with that one.
I agree 100%.
The dagger, you're going to slowly bleed out. And you're going to suffocate because you can't breathe.
Well, unless it like snaps your spinal cord, then you're brain dead. So it's the same thing.
Okay, but you didn't clarify that in there. You just said dagger through the throat. It could go sideways, like right in the front.
Lady, I'm talking about how the King of Hybern was stabbed.
I don't fucking remember the exact way he was stabbed. Either way, snapping of the neck sounds a lot faster. Because there's so much that could go wrong with the placement of the dagger.
Okay.
That could make it longer.
Okay.
Tarkin or Helion?
Helion. Tarkin. Tarkin, Tarkin, Tarkin.
Helion. Helion. Oh. However you say his name. 1000% Helion.
That's fair. Just a second. Jacob texted me. Okay. I love Tarkin. Daddy T all the way. If you have a goddamn pleasure barge, I'm there.
I don't know. I just find Helion so much more like attractive.
No. Just in every the way sense I picture Tarkin in my head. Oh, fucking gold. Would you rather fight Braxis or the Weaver?
The Weaver. Braxis sounds ginormous.
Really?
Like, I wouldn't stand a fucking chance. The only reason Feyre stood a chance is because she makes friends with everyone. Like, everyone who shouldn't be a friend, she makes friends with. The Weaver sounds so much easier to kill.
I think I would rather... Yeah, I think I'd rather fight... I'm going to go Braxis.
Plus, after Cassian...
is terrified of
him. The general of the Illyrian armies... is terrified of him? Nah. No way.
I would rather fight Braxis, I think. Because I feel like I have a chance of, like, being friends with Braxis. Does that make sense? Like,
you're not Feyre. I love you to death, but you're not Feyre.
In my brain, I'm Feyre.
You would not be able to make a bargain with Braxis.
But also, the fucking Weaver is just fucking loco. So I will not be dealing with that woman.
I would so much rather
that female.
Would you rather have Cass or Az, like, be, like, aiding you in a fight?
Az.
Az, why?
The shadows.
Same.
Same page.
We still love Cass. We still love Cass with our entire hearts, but
oh my God. I love Cass. Would you rather be a seer, but be cursed to have nobody believe you? Wow. that's depressing. Okay, I figured it out. Would you rather be a seer but be cursed to have nobody believe you, or be a firebird during the day and a human at night?
Honestly, the firebird thing sounds like fun.
I agree.
Firebird all the way.
Also, you might not know this from Greek mythology, but Cassandra, the seer that, like, she was cursed to have nobody believe her ever. And that's how she ended up dying. She was right about everything, but nobody believed her. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. If you guys want to check out our book looks, check us out on social media. Our website is blues-library. You can find links to everything there. And if you just want to look us up on the socials, it's TikTok is blues.library and Instagram is blues.library and blues.library podcast. Lexi, what is our next book for next week?
I thought it was From Blood and Ash.
Sweetheart, it's on there. I, like, looked it up specifically to put it in here.
Okay. The next book is Undercover Bromance by Lissa K. Adams. It is book 2 in the Bromance Book Club series.
All right. You guys all have a great week.
Don't make bargains with people because you're not Feyre.
You're the worst at this, honestly.
I'm making it fun.
Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs.
Stay in school. Learning's good. Read more books. Wear a condom. Yeah. Bye.